Alrighty, folks. It is March. It is the week before CS2, and I'm joined by two special guests. Former guest of the show, friend of the show, Ryan Bonner, founder and CEO of DevCert, CS2 presenter extraordinaire, MSP whisperer, gray man of CMMC, the person that I turn to whenever I have questions about literally anything involving DeFi, cyber, NIST standards, CMMC stuff in general, board game strategy specifically, Ryan Bonner, and I believe first time guest on the show, the great and powerful Daniel Akridge, director of sales engagement from Summit 7. How's it going, guys?
Going great.
Pretty darn good.
So, like we talked about, as people know, as we've been beating them over the head for the last several weeks, CS2 is upon us. And one of the things that is soon to be upon us as the doomsday clock ticks closer and closer to midnight is the CMMC final rule. And one of the spiciest meatballs in the rule was the provision that MSPs now need to achieve an equivalent level of CMMC certification as their clients. And prior to knowing that, we had planned to have you on the CS2 agenda together to talk about how long it takes MSPs to sort of come around and help their clients achieve CMMC. But now there's a new dynamic. Not only how long does it take an average company to get ready for CMMC, but now how long will it take an MSP to achieve CMMC itself? So we just wanted to have you guys on and maybe give us the high level overview of what's going on with your session, what you'll be talking about, and why it may come as a surprise to some people.
Yeah, Daniel and I did a lot of back and forth on this topic to try and figure out what could we fit into this session, because it's sort of this spider web effect where you could take it in so many different directions. So when it really came down to it, when we were thinking about some of the ways that we would try to parse the discussion, we really came down to three, you know, keystone areas that we wanted to touch on. You know, I'm going to spend the first part of the talk just helping organizations understand, bottom line up front, when does my MSP need to be CMMC certified or why? And once we sort of get that out of the way, then we need to create a little breathing room to talk about some of the other reasons why that's important. Daniel's going to spend kind of the middle of our talk going through some of the core risk areas that are associated with having an MSP provide services, specifically viewed through the lens of 800.171 requirements. And that I'm really excited to drill into, because managing that entity, if you will, the MSP, is such a different relationship than you see in the traditional contractor, subcontractor, supplier view that we often get pulled into. And then we're going to really finish up talking about, you know, pedal to the metal. How would you accelerate the process of hopefully getting certified and getting your MSP certified? What's the correct order? What are some possible hacks that we could use to make that more successful?
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel, I know that, you know, we talk all the time. Obviously, Summit 7 is an MSP. We have MSP partners, but you being director of engagement, I mean, you're manning the phone panel here, you know, switching all the plugs around on the switchboard here. I mean, all day long, every day, between the two of you, you probably talk to more DIB companies than anybody that I know. And you come across people with all different kinds of MSP situations, whether they're starting from zero or they've been together with their MSP for a while. So, I mean, how does that kind of inform what you're going to talk about? I feel like you wouldn't have pitched a talk idea around people not understanding how long it takes an MSP to help them if that weren't something that you see and hear about all day long, right?
Well, and that's kind of the hard part, right? It's like the proposed rule dropped, and sure, I got prospects and companies calling me, but I had more MSPs calling me the 4 weeks after that proposed rule. I mean, it's New Year's Eve, and people are like, how do I get certified as an MSP, right?
Yeah.
Well, what does that even look like? And so in kind of doing these conversations, realizing, yes, companies don't understand that what it takes for an MSP to be certified. Companies understand they themselves have to be certified, though, right? That's finally starting to leach into the ecosystem enough. And so now we have this kind of first wave of adopters, I'll call it, around MSPs. And they're like, how do I do this? What can I use? What can I not use? Some of the burdens that we'll talk about, you know, even if an MSP is competent in the sense they can implement the 110 controls, one of the major tipping points for managed service providers is around the cloud services that they use. And can they keep using them? If they can't use them, are they going to spin up an enclave, right? Are they going to now charge their defense contractors more? Do they have enough revenue from their defense clients to even support doing a separate environment to maintain their compliance? And so when you start looking and itemizing this basically kind of line by line, I've talked to a lot of MSPs that are like, we might just get out of the game altogether.
Right.
Because it just seems so daunting, right? Ryan and I have gone back and forth a lot on like trying to get a little bit more prescriptive with things that you can do as an MSP to get there, right? And if you want to get there, you actually can do it. But it is still quite a lift to do. And you've got to kind of weigh the cost. And that's been a lot of the conversations that the purpose of the proposed rule is helping people weigh the cost of, is it worth me to get certified? Because I have to get certified before my client does.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It reminds me of the conversation that defense contractors and subcontractors have, where it's like, what amount of revenue do you get from defense work? You know, does it make economic sense to keep doing that work in light of what it takes to get spun up? And now you have MSPs in that same position where, you know, most MSPs, the majority of their portfolio is not defense clients. Yeah. Right? There's very few of us. And when the PCI DSSs of the world just let you sign a business associate agreement and be like, you know, we didn't mean to handle the data, no big deal. Yeah, this is a whole other can of worms that they end up having to deal with here. Now, Ryan, I know that you recently have been to conferences that are sort of just focused on the MSP ecosystem. Last year, I went to a major conference just focused around the MSP industry. All the attendees are MSPs. And I honestly was pretty stunned by the general attitude around CMMC. There's a lot of marketing that's done in the MSP industry around helping people with CMMC. But then when you talk to people behind the scenes, it seems to be, in my experience at that one conference, granted, more of an annoyance. You know, I was presenting at this conference and I was really explaining the concept of a shared responsibility matrix and why it's so important to have your shared responsibility matrix mapped to 800-171A rather than just the surface level of 800-171. Because if you don't, then when you show up to sit next to your client in an assessment and you can't produce that level of granularity, assessment's over and your client's going to be ultra pissed.
Yep.
So when I gave that presentation at the conference, there must have been, I don't know, 2,500 people at this conference. About six people came and sat in the audience, and which is fine. You know, I've given presentations to six people. I've given them 600. It's no big deal. But I went to the session after that where it was a GRC platform provider, and the premise of the session was how to sell things to people regarding CMMC. And that one was standing room only. So maybe just in your experience, I don't feel like the MSP industry is it's not a monolith here in terms of everybody circling the wagons and sort of maybe even taking this seriously. Sometimes you and I have had conversations where some MSPs, just the nature of their service delivery and their business model wouldn't even allow them necessarily to comply with some of these requirements. You want to just talk about some of the craziness that you've seen out there?
Yeah. I would say that there's been a very sobering response within the last few months on behalf of MSPs who are really starting to see that this does apply to them and that there's very real consequences and that they need to start getting their own house in order. The conferences that I've been to this year, the response has been very different from MSPs. But in a lot of ways, it feels like a time loop where I'm experiencing 5 years ago in the contracting base, just over on the MSP side.
Yeah.
Sort of that dawning realization leading to some of the same lesser informed questions that you heard the defense industrial base asking a while back, you know, where a lot of that grief and loss progression, right, from denial to anger to bargaining, and all of that in between. So, yeah, there's not as much, like you said, monolithic uniformity in the MSP space But there's also some really MSP-specific anti-patterns that need to be corrected. I think the first one we're dealing with is survivor bias. You talked about PCI DSS being just a questionnaire you fill out yourself every year that has very little in the way of disincentives. Maybe you pay a little more for your transaction fees or something like that. That doesn't even affect the MSP directly.
Right.
You also have HIPAA BAAs, business associate agreements.
Yep.
You signed it, but there maybe wasn't as much follow-up or assurance attached to that. So you get into these situations where the last round of regulations didn't have a profound effect on my business. So the next one won't, and the next one won't. And so you get this different animal that is CMMC, and it's a very stark contrast to some of the things that MSPs have had to adjust to before.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Daniel, we talk about the SRM on the show all the time. You know, I'm sure you had conversations with people around SRM all the time. What is the average conversation like when you're talking with somebody, probably like the average defense contractor or subcontractor in your experience? I don't even know how many thousands of people you've talked to, but the SRM thing is usually a big unknown for people. And like I've been telling people on LinkedIn and different events, before the proposed rule came out and said that MSPs need a certification, the problem was the SRM. So, I mean, it isn't like if the certification requirement didn't exist, MSPs would get off scot-free and their clients wouldn't have to worry. Effectively, the MSP certification requirement, in my opinion, actually makes things easier because you were going to have to present that evidence in an SRM over and over and over again. At least with an MSP certification, it can stand in for having to repeat the same verification procedures on your SRM over and over again. But what's your experience from that perspective, like pre-certification requirement?
Pre-certification, there's not a lot of MSPs being able to provide that, but there's also still not a lot of companies that are asking for it. I think that's a little bit of a tricky, right? It's like they barely know sometimes how to spell NIST 100-171A, right? Because when you're talking to these 50-man machine shops or even 500,000-plus organizations that don't really have any level of a GRC capability yet, they haven't invested into that, they don't know the right questions to ask unless they see it on a podcast or on a webinar or something like that. So the most concerning part to me is not as much MSPs can't provide it, is that the industry that needs it is not actually asking them and challenging them to do it, because there's going to be very few at the end of this. The proposed rule stays the way it is. They're going to be able to support 80,000+ companies that might end up needing a certified provider at the end of it. And to add on top of that, we talk to a lot of private equity, a lot of shared services, right, that are centralized up here, a lot of universities. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking through that, they don't know their own internal requirements, let alone a true external service provider. So when you start digging in that, you just really start figuring out that for a long time, no one's paid attention to this, no one has invested in this, and no one has the right questions to ask. Even if an MSP had an SRM, they might not be asking what they do or not.
Right.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, Daniel, because even when you do coach up a contractor to go ask their MSP some very specific questions about CMMC or their certification plans or whether they have a shared responsibility matrix, a lot of times their end client, you know, the contractor you're talking to, also doesn't necessarily know how to quantify the response, right? So they get things that exist on the spectrum of, they take security very seriously. To
green check.
We have a SOC 2, or the product we resell is in the right data center, or any of these things that are really hard to slot into the correct bucket and say, thank you for that answer. I'm looking for this.
Right.
And so short of saying, put me on the phone with your MSP, it can become really hard to participate in that game of telephone. Because there's a lot of smoothing over that happens when you're not in the ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we talk about like the difficulties of people not asking for it, which doesn't necessarily drive companies like MSPs to have it. All of a sudden, the shoe drops and the rule is like, oh, you have to be certified too, and they're not very familiar with how DoD operates because they're sort of a couple steps removed from the contracting world, and maybe even their portfolio only has a small percentage of clients that have to deal with that. you know, we were all talking beforehand about this GAO report that came out a couple weeks ago about procurement administrative lead time. And this is something that, you know, I think all three of us tell people all the time, is that the trap that people are in is they say, well, I'll get started on CMMC once it's a requirement. But because it's a program that assesses things that are already requirements, if you wait until the rule is final, you're upside down by like 12 to 18 months at a minimum, plus whatever time it takes your MSP to get certified. And so in that same sense, you now have the MSPs dealing with this problem. And the findings from the GAO report said that the DoD-wide median values for these lead times, which is the measurement of the time from solicitation until contract award, CMMC being a condition of contract award, for DoD contracts and orders above 50 million, 255 days, below 50 million, 29 days. Definitive contracts were 97 days, indefinite delivery contracts, 179 days, and just standard orders were 21 days. Over 85% of all definitive contracts awarded and over 90% of all orders issued by DoD between 2019 and 2022 were below 10 million in value and had shorter median procurement administrative lead time timeframes. So in your experience, not to give away, you know, the finale of your talk here, but is 21 to 255 days a realistic timeframe for an MSP to go from average to assessment ready?
No.
I don't think 21 days is realistic.
Yeah. And again, that's the hard part. Again, let's just say they hire the staff, they hire consultants to be able to do this internal from a paperwork perspective, policies and procedures and whatnot. It all comes back around to their tech stack.
Right.
And especially if you have any kind of like export control requirements on top of that, I mean, it just starts spiraling very, very hard. So you're looking at potentially a lot of reconfiguration, net new deployments, bringing services that were once cloud back in-house, and you're looking at tweaking all of these things. And even to set aside the funds to be able to do that and hire the people, most MSPs don't have that kind of margin in their profits today. And so even if they wanted to do it, they might not have the dollars, and I got to go get a loan, right? Yeah. Or I go try and get a loan or figure out, is it worth me even doing this at all? So until it is a final regulation, just like defense contractors, they're going to wait because they can't spend the investment today unless they've already positioned themselves as a defense MSP from the get-go.
Yeah. Having one client that needs it suddenly triggers an event where you have to make the kinds of investments that would put you into a position where they need to be a majority of your clients.
Right.
And that's not really what a lot of these MSPs want to do. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah.
I think money on 21. You want to take the over or the under?
Well, I do think the tech stack is a huge force multiplier in how difficult it can be to meet these requirements. I think another huge factor is whether or not the MSP has dedicated staff to allocate for this, which usually takes the form of a project team. So when we talk with MSPs who only have help desk staff, and you know, the bigger problems, the real head scratchers are taken by the tier three, you know, escalated feet, you know, people that are on the team. Guess what? Those people are incredibly in demand. They're incredibly busy. And so you get a situation where the whole organization has been built around how well they react to situations.
Yeah.
And it's a huge culture shift to have a proactive element that isn't on fire, but still needs to be done, you know, repeatedly over time in a set direction. And that's what CMMC represents. It's lots of recurring activities. It's lots of process maturity. It's lots of provability that you're doing what you said you did. And so if you don't have an existing organizational element who thinks that way and plans and executes over several months, I don't see how, from an organizational culture perspective, you can get this done quickly. So, you know, that's a huge factor as well. You take that together, tools and compatibility, and then organizational structure and compatibility, you're basically asking them to be a different company.
Yep. Right. And hopefully in less than 8.5 months, apparently at maximum for these PAL-T timeframes, the GAO was talking about, which, you know, that might be the rule of thumb for people to take away from this podcast, was if you're planning on bidding on a contract sometime in the next 6 to 9 months, can you and your MSP be ready to go in 8.5 months or less, certified yeah. as a condition of accepting contract award? Most likely closer to like 3 to 4 months based off of those numbers. And if the answer is we're good, but we don't know about them, you might want to, one, tune into the talk at CS2 from these two guys. And then two, you probably want to call somebody, because yeah. that is not the kind of situation that you want to get surprised by. Yeah, Daniel, I know you got on your LinkedIn profile. I love telling people all the time, your description of CMMC, I think, is the best summary of the situation. You always say, yeah, you can't be on time for yeah. CMMC. You can either be early or you're going to be extremely late. There's a lot of dynamics that go into that. But Ryan, I don't know. You're never one to shy away from a pithy one-liner here. Do you have something to send off the show here for people to take away from the situation? I don't know. It doesn't have to necessarily be MSP related, but I've just been going back to the great American cinema classic Speed, where we're all on the bus. It can't go below 50 miles an hour. The bridge is out, and we're about ready to jump over the bridge. Kids at home, if you don't understand the reference, ask your parents. I feel like I gave you enough time to think of something witty, right?
Yeah, there's a great story where there was this like missionary who was serving a leper colony, I think, in Hawaii, you know, turn of the century. And right as he retired, he finally left the leper colony. And as he was leaving, he saw the leper spot starting to appear on his own hand. And he turned around and came back to the colony and had never been so happy, because for once there were no barriers between him and the people he was serving.
Huh.
And he marked that as the most joyful event in his life. MSPs need to realize that if they don't have the same motivating factors as their client, which is certification in this case, and maintaining that over time, at some point you're going to run out of willpower. You're not going to want to be in that situation. And so seeing what that's going to take you towards will maybe help you decide whether you're in or you're out now or in the future.
Yeah, I think that's great, man. That's a great allegory. I can't wait for the presentation at CS2. Everybody can get the discount code in the description below. We'll link to Ryan. We'll link to Daniel. Link to all their content. Definitely give them a follow. Ask them questions, because they're smarter than I am. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.